RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Thursday morning is always the morning for Perigo's Perspective. Lindsay is back with us. Morning, Lindsay. How are you feeling?
Oh, actually, a little poorly this morning. I've had a cold for 2 or 3 days. I think I'm over the worst. And it caused me to reflect, this is the closest thing I've had to Wuhan since Wuhan. In all of that time, I have not had Wuhan. Unvaxxed moi has not had Wuhan. So I'm a Wuhan virgin. And so much for a pandemic of the unvaccinated. What a lot of lying scumbags we know they were.
He said that, Robertson, Grant Robertson. I know they all said it, but I saw him say that. Never forgotten that. Every time I see him, I think of him saying that. But I'm the same. I didn't take it, the jabby. And apart from being told that I tested positive for it, turning up with a heart attack and never feeling any symptoms, I haven't had anything, Lindsay. Just a slightly croaky voice for a few days. So, yeah, missed all that.
My goodness, but if you were verging on a heart attack and you had taken the jab, you wouldn't be here now.
Well, I've often thought about that. Yep, totally. I think you're right. Ooh.
Myocarditis.
My, oh, my. All right. Well, I hope you don't have a sneezing fit or anything like that during the perspective this morning, because there's so much to digest in the last day or two. My golly.
Right. Is the floor mine?
The floor is yours. Go for it.
I concluded last week's perspective by saying this debate was the second assassination attempt of this campaign. If Merchan doesn't sentence Orange to jail, which I'm sure is the plan, there will assuredly be yet another literal assassination attempt. The elites who choreograph the dirty Dems will stop at nothing. It is they who are not just a threat to democracy, but an existential threat to civilization. Well, it gives me no joy to know they have struck again already. The acting head of the Secret Service, who replaced the brick Portaloo, Cheadle, after the first attempt, boasted that his methodologies were vindicated by the second shooter's being foiled, just as the first one was. No, his methodologies were not vindicated. Both foilings were the result of miracles. The first, Trump's turning of his head at the crucial moment. The second, the security service agents' beyond improbable spotting of a gun barrel peering out from some shrubbery, a needle in a haystack moment. But for these near impossible strokes of luck, Orange Man Bad would be dead. Exactly as the forces behind these assassination attempts intend. They will go on doing it. At the moment, they are praying for third time lucky, but they'll go beyond a third attempt if necessary. The methodology is now clear. Find a spot from which Trump can be shot at with alacrity. Allow your chosen assassin free, unimpeded access to that area hours ahead of time to do reconnaissance and to set up. Have sufficient co-conspirators on the ground to ensure that the path remains clear for the assassin right up to the moment of the deed. When the deed has been committed, and everyone asks how a shooter with known Trump derangement syndrome and an AK-47 could get so close to the object of his derangement, plead lack of resources. Blame Trump's rhetoric. Say it's all Trump's fault for pointing out that illegal Haitians eat pet cats. Rinse and repeat till mission accomplished. Decent people with eyes to see and brains to connect dots with know that this is what is going on. Most won't say so. They'll point out the heroism of the Secret Service agents not in the know, who did do their jobs, and gloss over the evil of those in the know as incompetence or under-resourcing. Even before this second attempt, Melania knew better and let the world know.
The attempt to end my husband's life was a horrible, distressing experience. Now, the silence around it feels heavy. I can't help but wonder, why didn't law enforcement officials arrest the shooter before the speech? There is definitely more to this story, and we need to uncover the truth.
Eric Trump knows it. Here's what he said right at the beginning of an interview with Sean Hannity after the second attempt.
How is it possible this treed area where your dad was playing at this time, by the fourth, fifth, sixth hole over there, is well known for where paparazzi get pictures and videos of your dad playing golf? It's the only, they hide in the bushes and they get the pictures. And what I don't understand is why that area was not swept and why there weren't agents preventing anybody from getting into that area after it was swept. That, to me, is a massive security failure. Your reaction?
Well, Sean, my reaction is it feels like deja vu. It feels like 5 weeks ago you and I are having the exact same conversations we're having today. You know, let me just be very clear. They are trying to kill the man. They are trying to kill my father. They are trying to kill the 45th president of the United States.
Representative Tim Burchett, Republican Tennessee, knows it. Here he is with Trump derangement syndromer Eric Shawn immediately after the second attempt.
The left has just ramped up their vitriol. You've seen the tweets that y'all saying something about they need to learn how to aim better and things like that. Those are the type of things that incite somebody who is on the edge. They know exactly what they're doing. This establishment, the swamp, whatever you want to call it, it's a open sewer. They have thrown down the gauntlet. They know if Donald J. Trump is elected, their days are over. We'll get this country back in order, and they will throw anything and everything at it. The problem is you've got a Secret Service, at least in my opinion, and in the public's eye, that is compromised and that it lacks in leadership. And you've got brave agents on the ground, obviously, one who took that shot. But why in the world would anybody be anywhere near the perimeter of this? This line of sight that we talk about is just beyond me. So we've got to get some answers. I don't think we're going to get them during this administration, but hopefully under the Trump administration, we'll clean this rat's nest out. I mean, we've got to go through these departments like Grant through Richmond, brother. We cannot put up with this anymore.
Well, clearly we don't know the motive why the suspect, Ryan Wesley Wouth, allegedly, you know, hit himself in the bushes, but he did have a GoPro. What does that tell you? I mean, it seems that he wanted to potentially suggest to put the assassination of President Trump on social media.
100%. It's an ego thing. It's somebody that wants to be somebody. And look, these people that will never know the true story. I'm leaning towards conspiracy on this now because they put this out enough. They put it in somebody's ear. They know these type of people, how they're going to react. Somebody is putting up this kind of information out there. So these lunatics will pull the trigger.
It may not be a conspiracy. It could be a lone situation of a lone wolf, yeah. Someone who's disturbed.
You know, on the last one, that's what everybody said. But, you know, we'll never know that because it's less than a few hours later, they were already washing the roof off, destroying the crime scene. We will. And that creates an air of conspiracy to the American public. And you'll never be able to do that. They keep saying, trust us. Heck, we don't even know what happened to Kennedy. And that was 60 years ago, brother. Washington, D.C. does not turn loose of its secrets very easily. And the American public are right to question this. When you see hard left people putting out negative things about Trump today, saying they missed, they need to learn how to sight their guns in better and things like that. And those people are not being yanked off the air. Why is that? If it had been, you know, good and well, and it should be, if somebody on the other side was saying that, if heaven forbid somebody on the left was shot at or was killed, there would be cause to shut those people down. But they're not doing that now. They're ramping it up, and they're allowed to do that. Because that is the vitriol that's coming out of Washington, D.C. and the hard left, because they know they're in trouble.
Let's hope. The inquiry into this matter must not be left to the FBI. The FBI official who briefed the media 2 days ago had to have his social media purged of his rabid anti-Trump posts before he could be appointed by Christopher Wray, in on it Wray, to his current position. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis would appear to realize the FBI is in on Operation Eliminate Orange, OEO, DeSantis has announced the state of Florida will be conducting its own investigation. The core question here, to reiterate Sean Hannity, is, given that Trump's golfing on Sunday was not on his official schedule, how did the would-be shooter know to be in exactly the right place at the right time on the golf course to bump Trump off? In the meantime, Comey Lala carried on with her word salads, worthy of the Peter Sellers I played a few weeks back, or indeed of Sir Humphrey Applebear.
At the debate the other night, you talked about creating an opportunity economy. I wonder if we can drill down on that a little bit. When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, yeah, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people, you know, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn. You know, and I was raised to believe and to know that all people deserve dignity, and that we as Americans have a beautiful character. You know, we have ambitions and aspirations and dreams, but not everyone necessarily has access to the resources that can help them fuel those dreams and ambitions.
You know, Paul, it occurs to me we can actually improve upon our Laughing Policeman Laughter Award. We have the very thing, don't we?
I think I know what you're thinking, Lindsay, and I've got it right here. All I've got to do is press a button. Here it is.
Bill Ralston once said, all politicians are lying scumbags. He was largely right. Trump is not a politician, he's an outsider who has intruded upon politicians with such impertinence that they now seek to kill him. Politicians are the lowest form of life, excreted rather than born, as Cicero said, whom our system attracts into the profession. They are driven by power and money, not their money, but the money of the other people over whom they crave the power. Given, however, that government is an objective necessity if individual rights are to be upheld, we have to figure out how to spawn a breed of politicians who are not ignoble, who are there precisely to ensure that government performs its proper function. No more, no less. Two things might be helpful. One, don't pay them. Politics should be an unpaid profession, thereby ensuring that only people who have succeeded in life and can live off the fruits of that success will enter it. Orange Man Bad donated his presidential salary to charity. No salary, expenses only. That will keep out congenital losers such as Hard Labour, the Shoplifters Party, and Te-Party Apartheid. Second thing, term limits. Even those who don't do it for the money might do it for power and pelf. Deprive them of it after 6 years. Let them get their jollies off some other way, as long as it's between or among consenting adults in private. Given that the bulk of politicians in our current parliament are lying scumbags, it beggars belief, and I cannot let it go unremarked, that a few days ago in our parliament, this speech was delivered as part of a general debate celebrating the upcoming inquiry, the real one as opposed to the whitewash of damn jabby jihadi Jacinda Jackboot, into the Mengelian Marxists' Wuhan tyranny. Truly, I rubbed my eyes in disbelief. What helped me realize it was real was the heckling from the lying scumbag, hard labor Mengelian Marxists opposite. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Tanya Unkevich from New Zealand First.
New Zealanders who have felt shunned, ignored, gaslit, coerced, isolated and forgotten. New Zealanders being unable to participate in an inquiry where they can truly tell their stories. Now, with an expanded terms of reference, those stories can include vaccine mandates, vaccine efficacy and safety, the reporting and monitoring of adverse reactions to vaccines, and vaccine approvals and procurement. New Zealand First knows that there are stories out there because we have spent the time to listen to them. We all have our personal experiences to draw on during these years. I certainly have mine. Now, this House must understand that there are still many Kiwis out there who are still hurting. We have walked with them, sat with them, and we are working to support their needs in this House. We first listened when the Right Honourable Winston Peters walked amongst the Parliament protesters on the lawn of this very House in February 2022. We heard the stories and concerns of many New Zealanders as we packed public meetings across the country. We started in Warkworth, Pakuranga, Hamilton, Tauranga, Whanganui, Lower Hutt, Nelson, Christchurch, Dunedin and Invercargill, all across the country. We filled town halls to the brim. And we listened to these people. Until July 2023, when in Whangarei, our party outlined our commitment to an independent COVID inquiry based on what we heard from those forgotten New Zealanders. We fought hard. We fought hard during this election, and we secured it in our coalition agreement in November 2023. A massive milestone. We fought hard during the election. We debated this topic in the House. And surprisingly, my contribution, I was continuously heckled by the other side, just as I am now, Mr. Speaker. And then, Mr. Speaker, once my contribution was completed, the member opposite decided to give me half of her contribution to speak to mine. Mr. Speaker, members opposite, they may not want to have they may not have wanted to hear what New Zealand First have to say, just like now. However, the public did, and our debate was subsequently well received. The gaslighting continues, doesn't it? Gaslighting, it's so 2021. We're over it.
Over it, indeed. Are we what? To Tanya Unkevich, the Freedom Award. Back to Komilala, finally. I heard that she was endorsed by Taylor Swift, of whom I had never heard. A female caterwauler, apparently. I can read your mind. She's having the time of her life. Stars are for silhouette every night. I can show you lights. Summer real tough kid, I can handle my shit. They said, babe, you gotta fake it till you make it, and I did it. Lights, camera, bitch, smile, even when you wanna die. He said he what remarkably talentless garbage. I initially thought the endorsement reference must be to Taylor Fritz, male tennis star of whom I not only had heard, but with whom I am besotted. Unrequitedly, alas, the pangs of despised love, as Hamlet would have lamented. But I was ready to dump him there and then if he had indeed endorsed Komilala. Thankfully, he had not, and he remains an object of my unrequited adoration. But if we are to sport songs about lonely hearts, let them not be Taylor Swift, but real music sung by real voices. I conclude with None But the Lonely Heart by Tchaikovsky, sung by the late, great Leonard Warren.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.